The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB, proud sponsors of Club and County, because we believe support is what gets you the life you're truly after.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, and myself, Tommy Rooney. To give you the full name, so if anyone wants to reach out afterwards and give out or give a bit of shtick, you'll find the three of us. All our profiles are up on Instagram. There's no hidden accounts, no anonymous accounts. You can come at me.
Is this going to be a spicy show?
What are you planning this evening that you have to get that out there?
I've been arguing my shadow all weekend, but we'll come back to that again at another stage. Lads, a wintry weekend around the country in lots of different ways. Did the football warm your hearts? James, you're up to start with a yawn, so I don't know how good that is.
Deafening silence.
That's because you were talking for a minute and 9 seconds straight there. Do you know what? I enjoyed the Donegal and Mayo game today. Learned a lot about both teams, I think. So I was watching from the couch, obviously, so I was nice and warm. The conditions on TG Car looked dreadful during spells of it. And then truly, Galway and Kerry were playing again, very tough conditions, very windy, wet, cold, and a great comeback there, by Galway.
Did you go?
No, I wasn't there actually. Oh. I couldn't make it.
He's got on the floor.
It looked heavy. Jeez,
yeah,
chilly.
It was. But serious comeback by Galway, and so that is heartwarming. You could even see Joyce after the game; he was buzzing, like he was happy they got out of there with a point, because it was. It wasn't looking great for a while. So those two games were the ones that I caught up with really over the weekend. So they were definitely worth the watch.
Yeah. Paddy, you caught a kind of a funny one as well. The Dublin-Monaghan game, in terms of just where the two of them are right now.
We dovetailed well. I watched, I'd seen clips of both those games, Jimmy, but watched Dublin-Monaghan and then Tyrone-Cavan today. So no, we actually did a bit on Tyrone and Cavan last week and spoken a good bit about Cavan over the last couple of shows as well, with their good start but unlucky start in terms of results. But if we're kicking off with Saturday night in Croker, a good result for Dublin, just to get points on the board. We were saying last week, realistically, whoever lost that one was probably going to be condemned to Division 2. So although the Rossies win today against Armagh, gives them a nice little bit of breathing space as well. But in terms of that game, and it was on straight after the Kerry Galway game, I thought the game in Croker was, lads, it wasn't like it was poor quality like from both sides. Lots of scoring opportunities on both sides, but very, very wasteful in front of the post. Dublin, especially in the first half. Monaghan with a lot of goal chances in both the first and second half and didn't take any of them. Stephen O'Hanlon, Micheál Bannigan. So Dublin will be disappointed defensively that those chances were coughed up. Monaghan on the other side as well, probably raging. You listen to Gabriel Bannigan after the match, he kind of felt they did enough to win. For Dublin, it was Conn really rescued them. Second half, he hit a couple of monster two-pointers off the left peg, which were beautiful, beautiful scores and tough conditions. But the first half was just worrying from Dublin. Just their scoring efficiency was, Ger Brennan alluded to it afterwards, just way, 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 way off. And we were talking just off air there. You said it to me about Mayo and Donegal. From watching that game today, you kind of got a sense of where teams are at. I think that game in Croker last night, you got a real sense of where.
Not challenging, like you can't see Dublin challenging.
Or Monaghan. Like either of those, I can't see Monaghan. I know Monaghan are missing a few players. Look, every team probably has that asterisk beside them at the minute, but I struggle to see Monaghan. They've lost a lot of big players as well. And they don't have the depth you've seen with Dublin as well. This is two teams maybe 4 or 5 years ago, you'd have Monaghan definitely one of the front runners for the Ulster Championship, maybe an All-Ireland semi-final. Dublin, obviously, with a dominant Leinster team, talking about All-Irelands. What we've seen last night from both those teams, they just look way, way off that. And we spoke last year about Dublin's maybe defence might be the Achilles heel, but I was just looking at them last night. If Conn does not have sensational games, I feel like they're going to struggle for scores.
Do you remember when it was like a year or two ago, Paddy?
Yeah.
Do you remember we were talking about Khan, and it was, he was like an assist machine at the time. He was completely selfless.
Too selfless. Yeah.
Khan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the selfless thing he has to do now is almost be selfish.
Shoot.
Because they're
take
they're,
a man on and shoot every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Because his quality is so far maybe ahead of the current batch of fellas coming through. He's going to have to take on, he's going to have to take on more. And it's actually, yeah, it's probably not in his natural makeup to kind of do that. Like, he's more of a team player, but he's going to have to pull the trigger an awful lot more, I think, isn't he?
Yeah, and look, I'm conscious as well, it's really tough conditions across the board. It's the second week of February, so we're not like saying any one team or any one player is absolutely shooting the lights out of there. Unbelievable. Or writing teams off on the other side of things. But you just look for two teams who have been right there in the mix over the last maybe 3-4 years ago. You go back and you just thought Monaghan have lost key guys, and you feel it's very, very difficult for them to replace. And I did see that with Dublin last night. It's nearly game by game for Jared Brennan, where he's looking going, what's the positives here? Can we get results and stay in Division One? And this is the big thing. It's like, is if there's an argument, if Dublin are going to have such a turnover of players in the next 2 or 3 seasons, where there's lots of young guys coming through, is it maybe easier that they learn their trade in Division Two, maybe, and they have a little bit more time? And I would disagree with that from a Dublin perspective, because the standard and the goal is always going to be to win the All-Ireland. And I think for young players, yeah, they're going to have tough times, but you have to test yourself against the best. Maybe it might suit different counties, but I think from a Dublin perspective, the standard is always going to be, are these guys good enough to win the All-Ireland? So you have to stay in Division One. And that's the positive from last night. It gives them a real fighting chance. Dublin-Roscommon game is going to be huge. And you think they've got to try and pick up 2 points outside of that. But
definitely. It's for Tyrone down with 7. I know it was a bit of an anomaly, yeah, but Tyrone went down with 7 last year. I definitely felt like on paper, it looked like definitely a better Dublin squad and team, but you know, you're still missing the likes of Lee Gannon and a couple of
Baskell,
others.
Colin Baskell will be a big...
Baskell for sure.
And Colin Costigan.
Yeah, exactly. So, look, that was an interesting punch out in ways. They kind of stumbled over the line, Dublin, but they got there. A fine finish from young Joe Quigley as well. Yeah. He stuck it right into the stanchion. So,
a line for a young fella into the hill, top corner into the hill to win a match on your debut. That's pretty good now. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't at a game on Saturday, but I was, I won't say I was dual screening it, but I had the Kerry and Galway game on and I had the headphones on listening to LMFM's commentary of Meath and Louth. And lads, the televised game saw a bit of comeback chaos, but the comeback chaos we saw across this weekend was off the charts. I'm going to run you through a couple of games and a couple of the swings that happened. Down in Tralee, which we'll get to, there was a 12-point swing. As Kerry were leading by 12, Galway came back and drew. Shane McGrath's at the hooter. His shot outside of the right, just going over the bar, past Shane Murphy's hands. A massive point for Galway. Around about the same time in Croke Park, Meath were leading Louth by 11 points at half-time. And with 68 minutes on the clock, Louth had ground them down and Craig Lennon had kicked Louth into the lead. Cue pandemonium in the stands, the press box. You could hear the roar from the loud crowd, whoever was there. And that man again, 2 weekends in a row, Jack Flynn against a tricky wind. The only footage I've seen so far, because we're recording before the Sunday game is out on Sunday night, is the RT News video that's been shared all around the county so far in Meath. He just sends it into space like he did against Derry.
He's some boot on him, isn't he? Like, he kicks the thing out of orbit.
Reckless.
And it just drops over the black spot.
Reckless stuff. And to have that in the back pocket, I'll come to that when we get to the Armagh game later, because I was in the hide for Roscommon Armagh. But to have different kind of threats is so important, because obviously Meath might have one or two of them at the minute. I think you need 4 or 5 in a team, honestly, you know, to be able to get away with 2-point threats.
Did you hear Robbie Brennan's comments afterwards?
I'm not sure I did.
There's a couple of... he's very good. He's a very personal guy, obviously, with the media and stuff. I'm sure, why wouldn't you be? There's such a buzz. We've spoken with me a bit. But there was a couple of two things he said that just stuck out for me. And maybe you're saying this to the media, but I believe he's saying it to the players as well. Jack Flynn was referenced, obviously, this. Mm-hmm. What, 2 weeks in a row, this guy has done this. And he's like, whatever Jack wants to do, we let Jack do.
On the field sort of, or off the field?
Maybe off the field as well. But it was like, how many inter-county managers would say that about any player? But it was just,
very interesting, because he said the exact same thing about, I think he said it to Rory Kinsler about Jordan Morris last year, when he was like, what do we call them, Rory, or Kinsley called them, attacking turnovers, and we allow them. If the lads take a chance up top, we allow it to turnovers. Happen up front.
But, and the second thing he said, which alludes to that, is something along the lines, I don't know the exact quote, but like, we don't put restrictions on anyone. We've no restrictions on anyone. We let the guys go out and do it. And Meade will get some of these shots, will land, and they have the last couple of weeks, and there'll be other days where they don't. And you could turn around and say, Jesus, why didn't they work that into an 80% zone and all that stuff that we maybe have been drilled into so many forwards across the country for so many years. But I thought that those two things that Robbie Brennan said around Jack Flynn personally, and then just around the team, just, again, goes to what we all think we see from the outside, that this is a group where they're just encouraged to play. And it might not win them the whole thing, but I tell you what, you see the way those players play, and you see the run and momentum where Meade have come from pretty much nowhere, lads, in the last 2 years. And there's a buzz around, and they're 3 from 3, and they've given themselves, I know you were writing thrown off for promotion to me, but they showed up today, but they've given themselves a great chance to get promoted for Division 1, but it just seems like a team in a brilliant place. And I thought that was an insight, those comments from Robbie Brennan. Like, we're all forwards. Like, wouldn't we like a coach to turn around and say that to you, you know?
I think that's the way it should be. And, like, it's the right decision if you score.
when it comes to shooting.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I know.
It's like, if you miss, it's wrong. Like, it's black and white. No matter what you do, if it goes over the bar, it's the right choice. Or if it goes in the back of the net, that was the right decision.
But the environment he's created is that the players can figure that out, and they're not in fear of taking that shot. That's clearly what it looks like. And how many teams genuinely can say that?
Yeah. It's so important. But you can't flourish as a forward if you have that doubt or that fear. You're kind of looking over your shoulder to see who's going to lose the lid.
But you boys have been there as well. I know maybe attitudes have changed a bit, and it pays to be brave right now, where maybe, you know, Paddy, your Dublin team proved, you know, it paid to be efficient when it was a different sort of a game and possession was king. But if you're not doing it in training, if you're not illustrating that ability, you're not going to be backed by your teammates. Like,
no.
And this is a common thing, misconception, but in our defence, with our crew, at that point you made, Tom, we'd always be encouraged to shoot. But if you weren't a shooter and you took a shot, to Jimmy's point, you would be absolutely crucified. But if you go out and train them and pull the trigger and practice from everywhere, all over the pitch, shoot. And we hit some wides and all that stuff. But it's more, and maybe Robbie Brennan mightn't have said that publicly if it wasn't Jack Flynn, who we know has shown he could do this. But if you practice enough and you have the players, then you're allowed to take a shot. But
even it's a psychological thing, even the fact that Jack Flynn knows he has the backing of the manager, like, that's a powerful thing, you know, to know that he trusts you, he has faith in you, he's not going to, you know, be micromanaging every little decision you make on the field and you have to, you know, argue. He's trusting him and he's given him the confidence, and he's delivered a good few times for him now. So it's a perfect concoction, really, that whatever they've going on up there.
But even, remember a couple of weeks ago, lads, you were down in Ganey's bar, and Dylan Ganey's brilliant point in the All-Ireland Club final from basically in the press box. And he was like, I thought he hadn't sobered up since he kicked it, but he was telling us about it. By the time we were talking to him, and he told us, and it was such an amazing score, and he had such a brilliant club run with numerous scores like that. And he was saying, I was kind of going, like, would you have taken that shot with Kerry? Like, and he's like, no, not in a million years. And I was going, but you can do it. You've clearly shown you can do it under the highest pressure. Like, and it's that maybe confidence. I know it's different if you're on the Kerry team and Clifford is coming around, you've got to give the ball to Clifford. But it just shows players at that level have this ability. And it's just a bit of, I don't know, belief. Maybe it's the conference, like Jack Flynn did it in the Talta Cup final a couple of years ago, and it takes those couple of times. But it's for neutrals, it's brilliant to see. And just when you hear coaches and players talk about it like that, and we go back, and you're still playing, you guys are still playing club, but when you go back to when I was playing, you'd be like, that isn't all your best football and your best performances are when you're in an environment like that where you know you're allowed to, yeah, you're allowed to have a goal, like, from your teammates and your coaches. It's, and me just strike me as a team who have that, not just with Jack and Flynn, but everywhere.
Yeah. And they're one of five counties around the country that have a 100% record at the minute. Alongside them in Division 2, we've got Cork. We've got the better of Offaly today. I'll run you through that in a little while. Donegal, obviously, still top of Division 1. We're going to go through that game in depth. In Division 4, Carlow top Division 4 with 6 points. And in Division 3, we've got Down as well, who have won 3 from 3. So, interesting there. Just to come back to the comeback chaos, lads, and to come back to fellas who are well-equipped to take 2-pointers, I got to bring you to London, who are leading Leitrim in Division 4 by 10 points today at half-time. Stephen Poacher, the Leitrim manager, made 2 switches at half-time. He brought on 2 attacking players. I don't know whether that was a tactic or not. They were holding them in reserve for the second half. But Paul Honeyman and Barry McNulty, 2 extremely talented fellas. McNulty has kind of caught the eye maybe a bit more. He's 6'4". He played in the Interprovincials a couple of years ago. He's started Sigerson level. Barry McNulty kicked 6 2-pointers. 6 2-pointers in the second half as Leitrim flipped that 10-point deficit on its head to win that game. 5 of them from play. And God, I hope there was a camera at it. I haven't seen...
You can hang up the boots after that, can't you? Like?
Oh.
Well, if you scored 6 1-pointers in the second half, yeah, you'd be saying, I delivered there for you. 6 2-pointers. His sensational return. He has the ability, though. He's shown it before.
Yeah, 100%. Like, still only, I think, 2021 maybe. But just a prodigious talent. A fella who I reckon would get starting for 90, I'm going to say 90% of counties. I don't know who is in that 10%, but just, he has got all the quality in the world. Just to bring you to another 2 leads that were nearly flipped on their heads, but weren't. Down at a 13-point lead against Westmeath, and Westmeath brought that back to a score. I was listening to Mark McHugh afterwards. Kieran McGeaney was talking about the kick-out battle earlier on, and I asked him, what's it down to? And he said, pure piggery. And I think I reckon Kieran McGeaney actually values a bit of piggery. I'd value a bit of piggery in a football field too. Mark McHugh wasn't happy. He didn't think his boys were putting their bodies on the line when it came to winning breaking ball. He was making the point that there's not as much clean catches, and you don't need to be a big man to win breaking ball. You just need to be brave and aggressive when the ball hits the deck. And he was disappointed, I think, with some of his Westmeath charges today. They fell short. They've had a good start to the year. They're going to have to try and keep in touch with Down, but like, they're right in the mix for promotion there. And I was in the hide, as I mentioned. Roscommon were leading by 12 points at halftime. I had a little glance at the odds, and Armagh was only 3-1 still to turn that on its head. Like, so I think we're seeing these swings consistently at halftime in games, and I think you're nearly expecting a team to be able to turn it around. The wind was significant, but
yeah, the wind and the kickoff, Sam, it's... Yeah. I don't think you'll see those turnarounds come the championship. You're almost expecting... I was in Tralee last year for Kerry Dublin, and I think yes, Kerry were up like 15 points or something. And we were thinking, Kerry in trouble here. Like, it was just outrageous. And Dublin ended up winning by a point. It was just a merciful swing because Kerry couldn't get the ball out against the wind. Yeah. You've no recollection.
Yeah. But it's
great. Like, no, it's not to completely say that there's not a lot more to it, but the help of the wind and the 2-pointers, like, once you reel a team into 6 or 7 and you're thinking, we have you.
Well, what was the biggest swing in the championship last year? Was there a major game?
Well, you could give it right. So everyone remembers the 15 minutes that Kerry put on Armagh. They were 6 down, I think, at halftime, or 7 down at one stage in that game. And Kerry had that 15 minutes where they destroyed the kickout in the quarterfinal. You had Meath. Meath were 10 points down against Offaly, and they kicked 5 second-half 2-pointers. I think
wind was a big five in a row. That was
massive. Wind was massive. Yeah, yeah. They were the kind of biggest swings in my head.
But there seems to be a lot in the league. You're right. This time of year,
think there at least, James. Yeah, it could have been more.
No, Grogan right. gets the goal before halftime. I don't think it was six. I think it might have been four.
Oh, Rean O'Neill, I think. Yeah. I'll tell you, I'd go to him. But
there wasn't a swing in the latter stage of the championship like this. Like we're seeing nearly every weekend. 12. You mentioned 4 or 5 there today. 12, 13-point swings. Like Shane McGrath's stuff and the couple of goals last night. That is...
But was that wind, lads?
Crazy.
I know wind is having an impact, but like... Geez, I glanced up at that Galway game at one stage and some of the decision-making by Galway, and Pádraig Joyce alluded to it afterwards, was terrible. And, you know, some of the Mayo shots today when they were still in the game with the wind wasn't good enough. Was I wrong, James? Are you going to come in?
You were wrong, Tommy. Would you believe it was the minimum between the sides?
One point?
Was that it?
Are you serious?
1 point.
Grogan gets the goal.
Joe McElroy put Armagh hit by a point. In injury time in the first half. 1:11 to 13.
Mm. Oh, sorry. Started the second half. 5-6 minutes in the second half. Rean O'Neill puts Armagh 5 up. No. Rean O'Neill, before the swing.
Don't let him off.
No.
Rean O'Neill puts them 5 up.
No, he doesn't.
6.
He just edits this out, Jimmy, anyway. He just edits this out.
Yeah, he will when he's wrong. No, they went up. It was 1:14 to 14, 1:15 to 14. Yeah, Rean O'Neill. How many did you say?
Keep coming. I said 5 originally.
Yeah, you're right. 5. 1:16 to 14. He went to 5 on 41 minutes. Yeah.
Don't doubt me. Yeah, but is it just wind? Right?
Okay, anyway, I apologize for interrupting.
Well, where do you want to go? I can bring you through Roscommon, Armagh. Paddy, I know you caught a bit of this. Like, Roscommon were absolutely brilliant in that first half. McGeaney said that he reckoned Armagh stayed in the hotel, but I'm telling you, the Rossies, like, Dermot Murtha just set the tone, and I don't understand how the Armagh defenders, if they're doing their due diligence, allowed Dermot Murtha to do this twice. Twice he was in the 1-point zone. He came back outside the arc and he curled him over his shoulder from the 2-pointers. Like twice in the game. He just soloed back out and Armagh let him go out and do it and curled 2 of them over.
That doesn't
sound
right.
Darragh Craig, who was brilliant against Kerry in round one, he scores this 2-pointer like on the run, getting minced by two fellas, falling over. Absolutely glorious. There's a breach. Armagh were a bit all over this. The breaches in the first half. They're wiped on their kickouts for a good bit of it. Roscommon get a goal from one of their own kickouts. Dermot Murtha puts it away. On the next kickout, they steal Hughes' kickout and Enda Smith puts it away. They steal another kickout a few minutes later and Dylan Rowan rattles the crossbar. And they were 12 points up. They were in total control. But credit to Armagh, they got a bit of a run in the second half. They won 14 Roscommon kickouts in the second half. But they just, they couldn't just turn it. Like, you know, Roscommon only won 7 Armagh kickouts in the first half and it felt significant.
But was it defensively they were cut out so in the first half? Because to be able to take the ball into the arc and run back outside with it against Armagh, that's completely unlike them. Did they just not get to the intensity level there?
Maybe. I think McGeaney was alluding to the fact that he was just disgusted, I think. He didn't use that word, but he wasn't happy with their first half performance, their first 20-25 minutes anyway. And there was a major moment in this game, lads. Paddy, I know you were scratching your head wondering what happened.
I had
as well.
A question on this. For the non-Irish speakers, again, this keeps coming back to get us. Like, watching the game, Armagh gets stealing the kick out, Andrew Murnan again, Ross McQuillan, unbelievable goal. And that brings it back, like, that would have brought it back to 4 points?
5 points. 4 points. 4 points.
Four points. But all the momentum is with Armagh, and there's a bit of a scuffle afterwards in the celebration of the goal. And then I was like, what's happening here? Goal is chopped off and the ref gives 30-metre free to the Rossies and Murtha keeps it over. And I was like, is this a new... Have they done this because he's giving your man lip, Ross McQuillan, after the goal? It was a breach.
I was actually sitting beside the referee's assessor. Now, he wasn't mic'd up at the time, but I was asking what happened. The linesman had copped the breach. So I
English on our TG car there for... We got to know this stuff. There's another rule that's after coming in.
You have to improve your Gaeilge, Paddy.
Come on, Tommy. Two babies beside me. I'm trying to fucking get through that as well.
Well, I was actually having this conversation with Kevin Egan in the Hyde today. We were talking about, like, how much do we need to explain about the new rules, you know, in our match reports or post-match? Like, do people get it when you say a breach? And obviously Gaelic football fans who are deep into it will, but maybe, you know, casual fans may need a bit more of that, so. Casual Gaelgors may need a little bit.
Casual Gaelgors, yes. They need a crash course.
McQuillan, massive moment. Armagh, after kicking back-to-back 2-pointers, you talk about momentum. They've stolen 4 kickouts in a row. Oisin O'Neill kicks a 2. Andrew Murnan kicks a 2. They steal the next kick out, and Ross McQuillan, as Paddy mentioned, rifles into the back of the net, gives a bit of lip afterwards. I think with Ronan Daly, there's a little bit of back and forth.
They kind of were just tackling each other. It was kind of innocent enough, but it was getting feisty.
You're thinking game on with 20-odd minutes to go, but no, it's a breach award at the far end of the field. I didn't see it, to be honest. I don't know how blatant it was. Dearma Murta taps it over, and it's a four-point swing back to an eight-point lead. Again, Armagh ground it back, but two of the Roscommon subs, Jack Duggan, who we actually mentioned in this pod a few weeks ago, goes on a brilliant run and sets up Paul Carey, who punches in a goal. Carey actually missed a late chance against Kerry, so it was great for him to get that. And they just held them off. It's funny, I thought Armagh's decision-making, similar to Galway at times, and Mayo, I don't know what you made of this, but maybe it's just because it's the league, but it wasn't sharp enough. They definitely had enough ball and chances laid on. Like, they kind of went for goal or tried to force goals, or they didn't try and go for twos when the twos were on. You know, they had the wind and they were maybe going for goals at times. They're only four down. So I don't know, did you see that, lads, watching games this weekend with like Galway's decision-making? Joyce was talking about it.
100%.
It was shocking at times. How did they turn that on its head? Because what did Galway do, or what happened?
It's interesting. Like, Kerry were outstanding in the first half. Very strong wind going into that goal. Kerry made hay. I was very worried for Galway at that stage. They were not playing well. I think even Fitzmaurice said it at the start of the second half. This could get nasty if Galway don't step up here. And even at the start of the second half, they obviously had a great halftime, whatever Joyce said to them at halftime. But they come out and Malloy kicks one short into the keeper's hands. And after that, I was like, oh, this is over. But the only thing you can say about those Galway lads is they play their heart out for Joyce. Whatever they have going on in that dressing room, they will give it absolutely everything for him and for each other. Because I'd say the whole stand was like, this game is going to be a drubbing. And to bring it back and get a draw out of it showed incredible gut and heart. Now, they did a lot wrong, and they can improve on a lot. They had obviously an experience on the field. What was so obvious to me was how many times they were blocked down. Like, the Kerry defenders looked like animals coming out and just blocking and taking the ball off them and going down the other way. So that's kind of a sign of maybe a bit of inexperience and naivety. But you fellas like Mulhern and these fellas got blocked down, but like, you need to kind of do that once or twice to never do it again. Do you know, like, they're still so young and coming through.
He's new, yeah.
So there was just kind of things like that. But Kerry were excellent in the first half. All the new fellas played well. And I thought it was over. But in fairness to Galway, they stuck at it, and they went for goals. They didn't just keep chipping the points. If they got a sniff of a goal, they went for it. And I think they actually deserved the point in the end. Kerry would be very disappointed not to come away with the 2 points there. You could see Joyce after the game. He was absolutely buzzing.
Why wouldn't he was last two All-Ireland winners. A win and a draw with a severely depleted side.
But it was the same story, wasn't it, lads? Brilliant. Like, if you look 25 minutes into the game up in the Athletic Grounds as well, like, Armagh were absolutely slicing through Galway. And Galway get a bit of luck with the call maybe and a breach in that game as well. And Rob Finnerty's long free goes in for a goal. But that was a game where it looked like Galway, we know they're down loads of bodies. We're not sure where they're at and questions around the best days behind them and all that stuff. But they battled back to get a brilliant win that night. And you're seeing the reaction of Joyce and all the players. And the same again last night. It's like, Tralee is a hard place to go. And the man in the street was looking at that, like, say, 40 minutes on the clock, going, oh, we're going to absolute hiding here, like, and then they pull it out of the bag and get something out of it. Jack O'Connor's, I don't think he's going to be,
he'd be disappointed.
I think he's seen enough for 30 odd minutes. Yeah, frustrated last night when they're in the dressing room going, that's 2 points we've kind of blown there. But again, I still think Kerry are slightly different just than nearly anyone else. But there is no way back in. We said this round, we'd start seeing the big guys get back. Johnny Marr on the Galway side. Cliffy, obviously, for Kerry. I think Jack is kind of seeing enough in 25, 30-minute patches from Kerry to kind of go, okay, bro, there's still a lot of good stuff there, and we'll just tidy things up. Disappointed, like I say, to be in a position where your game is done and dusted and allow Galway back in. But there's a bit of credit to Galway as well. Like, and say, again, the wind, couple of big two-pointers. The goals, Kerry, be a little bit concerned around that side of things, but I think both managers on reflection, you know, by the time they get to training on Tuesday night, go, there's a lot of good stuff there on both sides.
James, yeah, can but I put two quick ones to you?
Yeah.
Or do you want to hop in first? You go first. Do you have something?
Well, I'll just say the Galway almost did it, not without Finnerty, but without Finnerty playing well. Like Jason Foley and Finnerty was a matchup, an important matchup for Kerry. Mm. And Foley won that comfortably. So without Finnerty's intricacy and his cleverness and his, you know, now he did work a few scores in the second half, in fairness, through the hand. But if you said that Walsh and Comer aren't going to be playing and Finnerty isn't going to score or really create anything, for them to come out of it kicking 3-14 is still not bad. On the other side, if you look at Kerry's eight up, I reckon only three fellas will be nailed on to start come championship in David Clifford, Shawnee and Joe O'Connor. The others are kind of fighting for their place or coming through or trying to lay down a marker. Maybe not Micheál Burns, obviously, who's been there a long time and played a brilliant game at wing forward. But your Keith Evans, your Killian Trent, they had a very good game as well. So that's maybe the part that Jack will be happy with, that, you know, we didn't have the household names, we didn't have the Gainies and these fellas playing, or Paddy Clifford, but the younger fellas coming through who had to lay down a marker did play very well. And I think he'll be disappointed for them that they didn't get the result then, just to kind of rubber stamp a good performance.
Yeah, okay, two quick ones. Shane McGrath. So Joyce confirms that Paul Connor is going to be back, Footballer of the Year 2024.
Big news.
Big boost. Yeah. Big boost, big news, big boost to the squad in general. But a gossip like Shane McGrath, who, you know, we mentioned he kicked the late 2-point winner in the Sixers Cup 2 weeks ago. He wins the free late on against Armada, last kick out that leads to the winner. Steps up the last day. Like, even when they're a good bit back, kicks a 2-pointer, tries another two that doesn't work. And then forget about the shot. The step in poor conditions, to step your man and set yourself up and take on that responsibility. Has he got it?
It looks like it. It looks like it. That was a lovely score. And it landed I think it was going into the goal. Like, I think he's dropped it. He dropped it a tiny, tiny bit short, but greasy conditions, wind assisted. All the Shane Murphy could do was kind of help it on. And obviously that rule has changed. Last year at the start of the league, he'd only got one. Rightly so, I think he gets the 2 points.
Oh yeah.
But it was actually good goalkeeping, because it was a tricky one, you know, to be dealing with. So the fact he got it over, but again, that shows great courage and leadership to be able to take that step and throw it over. Excellent play, in fairness.
The other quick one, I'm after spotting it on the Stats and Solos Twitter account there. How many counties have scored at least 3 2-pointers a game so far? Have a think
in every game.
In every game, at least 3 2-pointers. Give me 3 seconds to think about it.
Donegal.
3, 2, 1.
Kerry.
The answer is zero. The answer is zero. Okay.
Okay. Now, Tommy, any quiz that Tommy goes up with, there's either no answer or it's finished. A fucking trick.
Oh wait, the question is wrong. Sorry.
I'm not finished. Sorry, it's wrong. How many counties have conceded at least 3 2-pointers in every game so far?
None.
One county. Kerry. Is that a worry? Don't be shaking your head, Paddy. It's a legitimate question.
Don't worry. I mean, the Donegal game, there was a huge wind. The Galway game, there was a huge wind. I don't think it's a trend that's going to worry. Jack.
With the outside of his right foot, there. Like.
No, it was clever than that.
No, but like, the wind is a huge factor in this.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
It is. And when there's leads involved, Tommy, everyone's saying, I'm going to go for a 2-pointer to start something, do you know? And then when you throw it over, it's like, come on, lads, you're up to nothing. I'm after getting a 2-pointer.
Okay. I just think it's a trend.
Wow. Just throw the hands up.
I just think it's a trend worth keeping an eye on, because, you know, I'm seeing a lot of poor defending around the arc at the minute. And, you know, we're not seeing enough maybe defenders shooting out or, maybe
now obviously conceding 3 goals is not ideal, but I always have the saying, it's easy to play when you're 10 points down, or it's easy to play a soccer match when you're 2-0 down and you just need to go for it. Do you know? It's like, you've no, everyone has Robbie Brennan's attitude where we back you, just go for it because there's nothing to lose anyway. I was like, impressed enough with Kerry's defending at times, especially with the blocks.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be overly concerned that there's a few two-pointers okay. going over in the conditions at the moment.
That's fair. Moving on, right? You mentioned Foley and the job that he did on Finnerty. One of the key matchups in the Mayo Donegal game, which kind of caught the eye afterwards, was Finbar Rorty and Ryan O'Donoghue did a very good job. And yes. obviously O'Donoghue is such an influence for Mayo. Before we move on, what's the feeling from this Donegal-Mayo game? Donegal in front of a sellout in Letterkenny went for it again, didn't they? You know, young McCall comes in, kicks a couple yeah. of lovely early points, but
where are they getting these kids from? Come on,
I know.
Yeah. What are they doing? Like
three off the
left. Is going to be one of the best defenders in the history of Gaelic football. That's how good that kid is. Yeah, Fim and a massive Kieran Moore fan, and then this McCall.
You really like Kieran Moore, yeah?
I do as well. Both of them.
Yeah,
but Rorty is. Oh man, he is.
Well, I liked.
He's gonna be.
Yeah. What did he do? I missed it live. So what's he doing there to like, you know, because we're looking at the amount of man markers Donegal have, and you know, could they have put Rorty on Paddy last year? But leave that aside. Okay, what did he do today on Ryan O'Donoghue?
It's a funny one because I have actual high hopes for Ryan O'Donoghue at 11, right?
Yes,
but this game did not suit him at 11, and. It was just a messy, mistake-laden game at the start, right, when he was playing 11. And he was actually at the centre of the majority of the mistakes. He was just a little bit off it at the start, right? But if he's going to play 11, 11 has to be a safe pair of hands. Do you know, he has to make every decision right and make sure he's not the one giving the ball away or taking silly shots. He had kind of two pointers that were kind of dropped short to kick one ball away. I don't think it was anything that Rorty did. Honestly, I think it was like almost a Fitzsimons and Clifford situation. It was like that Ryan O'Donoghue actually got the ball, but his execution was off. But it's just interesting because Andy put him into the corner then. I think it was the right call because I put him inside. Because if he was making mistakes at 11, the attacks were just crumbling way too early and they couldn't get any kind of sustained attack. They were just giving the ball away too quickly. Now, I know that I've seen on Twitter and things after, there was nothing sticking.
There was nothing sticking.
There was nothing sticking. McCall had Carr's number. He took Carr off in the first half. McCall had his number. McCall is one of the best defenders in the game. But it wasn't necessarily that Rorty was destroying Ryan O'Donoghue 11. That wasn't the case. It was just he was a little bit off. So I think if Ryan O'Donoghue has to take a learning from it, he nearly had to feel his way into the game a little bit more from the start and then kind of maybe pull the trigger on those ones as the game went on. Because when he kind of simplified it as he went on, he came into the game more. Okay. But yeah, Rorty was going the other way as well, though. He gets two. Oh, he gets 2 points and
sensational.
he's a really, really solid player. But in that matchup, I don't think it was that one-sided.
He could be like Lee Keegan. Like, remember Lee Keegan used a man-marking job on players and then he'd absolutely take, for those two or three seasons, definitely taken out who's the main man, and then he pops up with like 1-3 himself. Like this just, Rorty is only, like he's still only a kid. Like, he's a baby. Like,
yeah,
and he's doing this.
McHugh gets three. McHugh gets three as well, and from the half back line. Like, so they got 5 points from the half back line, and then obviously Conor O'Donnell has an unbelievable game. Conor O'Donnell, I want to talk about Conor O'Donnell. He gets man the match in the end, right? He is a super, super, super player.
He's gone up a level, isn't he, Jimmy?
His possession to shot ratio, right, could nearly get to 1-for-1. Like, he can get a shot off in a phone box. Like, he has all the jinx. He can punt it over. He can outside it, boot it over. He can hook it over both legs. He's so quick and jinky. Almost what he needs to just be a selfish, rootless scoring machine. I think that's what he can be that. Like, if they get the ball into his hands, it should almost at this stage be a shot at the post, and he's probably a 90% shooter. It's almost a score every time. He's so sharp, and it's so hard in these conditions, and he's still delivering. Every possession he had today was just on the money.
Their full forward line being Jimmy that. Because I think he's arguably the player of the league so far. I know we're only three rounds in, but he's...
Yeah.
So one of the age profile he's at, you can see you have a season like he had last season, with big moments, and then he just go up a level, you know? Yeah, and it looks like he's there. Is he potentially with Oisin Gallen or instead of Oisin Gallen? Because Murphy has to be in there somewhere.
Is this young lad
the new Paddy McFerty, and then
McCall
comes in. It's like... great problems for Jim McGuinness to have, but it's an interesting one, because I feel like Gallen was the foil with Murphy, and he's the shooter, whereas Conor O'Donnell probably, Oisin Gallen's a great player, but Conor O'Donnell feels like he maybe has even more to his game than Gallen.
Mm.
I don't know if that's fair to say or not, but I just
Gallen was excellent today, but he only gave him about 45 minutes. He came off for Murphy. And I think it must be managing minutes, because...
Yeah. Mm. No, I think he is.
Like, first he scored, I think he got six. He was very, very sharp in the first half. At the same time, I don't think the camera went to him when he was taken off. I don't think he was delighted to come off. I didn't know, no one ever is, even if it is for minutes or whatever. But I think Gallen O'Donnell, definitely. I mean, it's probably depending on setup then. Like, Murphy didn't look sharp. He came on, kicked a free off the ground short, and... He looked a little bit ring rusty, so he's going to need minutes now to get up the pace.
But Jimmy, they look like they're the best team in the country at the minute.
Yes.
You know, and they probably...
Without doubt.
Where the league is this year, between the Ulster Championship game, they've about a month before they go out. So the league is better set in the lead in the Championship for Donegal, definitely, in terms of when they play down in the Ulster Championship. But it's like... They look like they're in a really good spot at the minute, and the thing is,
right,
for the next 5 months. That's the thing.
Let me take a quick break and come back. Hold that thought. Let me come back. Let me take a quick break. We're gonna do a load of questions coming in. I'm gonna go around the grounds, and James, you're gonna pick up that point in just a moment. The Football Pod is, of course, brought to you with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. Support for your life you're after. We're back after this.
OTB GA.
James O'Donoghue, I very rudely interrupted you. What were you about to say? I'm sorry for that. We just needed to get our little break in.
I was going to say, when Paddy said that Donegal are the best team in the country, I don't think there's a doubt about it at the moment. And what teams are putting out onto the pitch at the moment, Donegal are streets ahead. Donegal could have absolutely annihilated Kerry. Like, they could have. They only won by four, left them off the hook. And even today, they could have annihilated Mayo as well. Like, they're so far ahead. It's actually, they were tying with both teams for periods. And like, both teams will almost be happy to get out of there. Kerry only got beat by four. Mayo got out of there without an absolute dusting today. Take their beating and get out of there and on to the next one. Forget that. Because Donegal are just on a different part of the arc to those teams at the moment. But they're so impressive. Everything is just tuned. Whatever winter they had, they had a good one, because they just look motoring well.
McGuinness was saying he's happy enough with where they're at, but he has his eye on Down, who they'll be facing in the Ulster Championship. And it hasn't eluded him that Down are 3-3 as well and have won their three games. So he thinks Down are motoring quite well too. Although Down are maybe going about it in a slightly different way. James, it sounded like there was a little bit of a spillage there.
Oh, I just nearly smashed a pint glass, thank God. I didn't.
Do you want to clean up there? You don't get any stains in the new gaff.
He's live from Lennon's there.
Okay.
He won the Jacks in Lennon's there, yeah.
We wish. I had a couple of nice pints in Tafts in Galway last night. We were there after the road show. Paddy, you weren't there. James, we were there that night, weren't we? Paddy, you went home that evening.
He always goes home 3 minutes
before that show. Like,
he's got the hole in the wall. Oh, God, I forgot. I'm sorry for bringing that up. I'm sorry.
Jesus, Tommy.
I'm sorry. I had a story, but we'll go back again to Pádraig Lally in Taft again. I'll bring you back, Paddy, and I'll show you the hole in the wall as well.
I'd love a night in Galway. I would.
We need a night out, the three of us. We have to catch up. Are we all going to Dublin Kerry this weekend? I'll come back to that game in a minute.
I'm not going. Yeah, what? I know. Yeah, life gets in the way, lads. Life gets in the way.
Okay, round the grounds. We've mentioned all the Division 1 results. Kerry draw with Galway, Dublin beating Monaghan, the Rossies beating Armagh, and Donegal beating Mayo. Donegal looks so slick. Mayo bubble burst a little, but they'll bounce back, I'm sure. They've Monaghan next. Dublin play Kerry. Galway play Roscommon in a really, really interesting game because the Rossies are moving very well. And we've got Armagh up against Donegal. Armagh need points. Donegal have six. Clash of the two boys in Ulster. That's going to be interesting. Game. Division 2, as we mentioned, Meath, for a second week running, survived by the skin of their teeth, or should I say the flint of their teeth. That was pretty cheap, but I'm going to go with it. Jack Flynn with a two-pointer to beat Loud. No love lost in this one. There was four black cards after 10 seconds of this game. Referee Brendan Griffin, a Kerry man, throws the ball in. A scuffle develops below, and I'm sure you two boys know the new rule with any melee in GA and Gaelic football. Rather than a red card, it's black cards dished out all around. So Sean Rafferty was speaking afterwards, and he reckoned that Loud were harder done by than Meade, as it was Sean Rafferty and Brian O'Halloran, a cornerback and a fullback, going off, and Loud's two best forwards, Sam Mulroy and Kieran Downey, arguably losing them for 10 minutes.
It was so two each.
Meade,
it must have been each, wide open, was it, at the start?
Must have been. Waiting to get eyes on that game. Kildare 118, Derry 315. So Derry get the monkey off their back with their win last round against Tyrone. A phenomenal win in brutal conditions. Two first half red cards. Connor Glass gets sent off, and Alex Byrne for Kildare a little later. Paul Cassidy, please tell me you opened up this wonder goal in the group.
I've seen the goal, yeah. He has it in the locker, lads. He pulls the trigger. There's a man who pulls the trigger without question. But that what is a highlights reel last night. What a goal.
What a goal. And I think worth noting Ben Lokeman, one of the Kildare young fellas, kicking 10 points as well.
Big win for Derry, though. You know, we were massive. I was questioning, started the National League, did they have it in them, losing all these games? Like I said, get the monkey off the back. But to win, Glass is their best player. And to lose him there, like promotion rivals, horrendous night in Newbridge. That's a massive, massive win for that Derry team. Yeah.
Huge. Offaly 19 points, Cork 3-15. Cork poor in the second half, but got away with it. Offaly down loads of bodies. They held them at arm's length. And Tyrone Paddy, just give us a little rundown on this. Darragh Canavan gets man of the match, kicks 9 points. But Malachy O'Rourke says afterwards that he's actually heading off to Australia. It might be a little mid-season holiday. He's gone for 5 weeks, I think. He will be back for championship. Yeah, so he's heading, I think, towards the end of the league. So he was sharp today.
Hallelujah. Wow.
I don't think it's trials, but I
had this info when I said that I don't fancy them for promotion.
You knew, Jim. Peter the Great told you. I thought Tyrone were good. Yeah, I was impressed with them. Matty Donnelly was playing inside and full forward. And he's like the wall. He's the pivot. For McElhone was playing kind of top of the D. He was wearing number 10. He's really going to be a key player for them this year. We knew the talent he has. Big guys around the middle with Kennedy, Kilpatrick, Joel Goose coming in off the bench. So they have that. Mm. None of them are like brilliant footballers, I would say, but they're really, really effective under these rules. They have a brilliant goalkeeper. Paddy Lynch gets a bit of a run start of the second half for Cavan, but then they just put Michael McKiernan back on him, and that just nullifies that. I think Tyrone just have, they have a lot of boxes to, they have a great coach, Malik O'Rourke as well. That's why I'm optimistic about them for the season ahead. Matty Donnelly, lads, it's like, well, he must be 35, probably 36. He's out in front for every ball, playing full forward. And that's not like speed anymore. It's just like unbelievably smart, how I move, the runs I make, and he's the pivot for all these young superstars coming off them. Derek Canavan, yeah, like, you know, he's one of my favourite players. The Cavan thing, I know we're talking about Cavan. Cavan, I don't know, like, I wasn't overly impressed with Cavan. I didn't see anything different from them, that they had a good couple of opening games to the league, but without getting the results. Don't see them getting promoted. Don't see it being a fixture in the Ulster Championship. So a little bit disappointed, having spoken about Cavan a lot over the last couple of weeks. But from Tyrone, probably their best performance. And I just think they, a lot of boxes you need. I think they're really good players and important positions on the pitch. But I didn't realise Derek Anavon's going off on a holiday for 5 weeks. So hopefully we get him back.
He'll be back for Championship.
Yeah,
their last two league games, Tom, are Meath and Cork, are they?
I'll give it. I fully confirm it. I trust you.
Division
James,
two, lads.
With that.
Division two is the best division. It's all going to be riding on it coming down the stretch.
Round six, Meath Tyrone. Round seven, Tyrone Cork.
Where's round seven?
In Tyrone, in Omagh. So that'll be fun. And this weekend we have got Derry up against Offaly. So Derry again, another chance to put the foot in the throat and get three wins in a row. Cork facing Meath, that's going to be a really interesting one. Top of the table clash in Division 2. Two sides that are three wins, maybe getting away with a few bits and pieces, still holds in both of those teams, but they're doing it the right way, they're learning the right way. Louder up against Tyrone, that's going to be interesting. And Cavan against Kildare. Let's go to Division 3. We mentioned earlier on, down three wins from three, they held off Westmeath. Mentioned Mark McHugh's comments as well, down were 13 up at one stage. Leash, big win against Sligo, 18 points to 1-8. Justin McNulty, very happy afterwards. A big, big win for Clare, who were disappointed in their opening two rounds. They bet Fermanagh. A late Daniel Walsh goal was key here, 2-18 to 18 points. And I told you it was hard to go into Rackheel and get a win. Limerick were down by four. They scored 1-2 at the death. James knocked them with a two-pointer. Peter Nash with a goal, 115 to 114. And that puts them in a really good position now in Division 3 of the National Football League. Wexford had been on 4 points. It was down on 6 points. Wexford on four, Westmeath on four, Limerick on three, Laois on three, and Sligo on two, and Clare on two. So it's really stacked there. And in Division 4, we mentioned the tour de force of Barry McNulty in that second half with his 12 points, his 6 two-pointers as Leitrim overcame London. Antrim. What has gone on in Antrim? This deserves a bit of a deep dive, and I think we're going to have a look at it off the ball. They were looking at the hurling side of things, where it's just not working. And in the football side of things, they lost one of their key players during the week. He stepped away from the panel. They were hammered. The most points that Longford have ever kicked in a Division 4 National Football League, in any National Football League game, 127. They bet them to Antrim's 114. Waterford fell short the night beforehand to Wicklow. They were up at half time. They lost 14 points to 9. And Tipperary defeated by Carlow, top of Division 4. Carlow, Joe Murphy's side, and they could thank Ben McCarron for a big penalty save, a brilliant save, as he stopped Sean O'Connor's penalty late on. So that was a 3-point win for Carlow. This weekend, you've got Carlow against Waterford, Wicklow up against London, Leitrim up against Antrim, and Longford, who are moving well, up against Tipperary. And I didn't mention the Division 4 fixtures, but good games again. Clare against Laois, Westmeath against Fermanagh, Sligo Limerick, and Wexford against Down. So there you go, we've brought you around the grounds. There is a couple of comments in, lads. Can I throw a few at you before we wrap up on this Sunday night?
As always.
We'll let you either hit the hay or watch the Allianz League Sunday. I think I'm going to watch it Monday morning and get into the groove with it.
Hey, so, just watch The View tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Oh, I will. I will tune in. Of course I will. Who have you got on? Who's your guest?
Paddy McBurkey, Mark O'Shea, and John Heslop.
Nice.
All football tomorrow. It was a little bit out of my depth doing the hurling last week, lads, but back on more solid footing tomorrow.
I saw a clip of Michael Meehan. He had to guess the player. Oh. It was comical. He had 40 guesses. 40.
He named so out the starting 15. In his guesses. It was like, oh, that's obviously like star, obviously. It's like, no. Yeah. That must have been scripted. I must check that out.
Oh, it was very funny.
Very good. Right. I thought I seen him. It was Ian Kerry over the weekend. I see Barry John Keane out with him. See that?
Was he?
Great. Instagram never lies, friends. Could be AI, but I think they were out a few.
It could be AI.
I think Barry John's got loads. Kerry Dublin game the weekend as well. Good fun, Barry John.
Premium tickets.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. Tommy, the company man.
I'm not good.
You should be able to provide me premium tickets. Huh?
I don't get tickets, man. I don't get tickets.
That's fine.
We barely get a press pass. Okay,
the biggest media organization in the country. Yeah.
I doubt that. let's just, the first comment, right? Just is kind of summing up the theme here. I'm going to keep you another couple of minutes, boys. Football Pod listeners, just loads of comments. First one from Dara Clancy. Barry McNulty. No more, no less. That's all he left in the comments box. Barry McNulty. But I think we've given Barry his due today. Second comment. Are Mayo really at the level they need to be at? Donegal physically looked on a different plane, but I think you both have made the point that Donegal are on a different plane.
Donegal are further in the tracks than a lot of teams.
Yeah. I think Mayo can recover and get a lot better than they were today.
Okay. Quick fire here. A lot of Roscommon comments in. A lot of excitement, okay? And this is dangerous because I said something about the Rossies last year and even my
Ireland favourites, yeah.
The Foley's nearly excommunicated me from the WhatsApp group after I uttered it. I was actually only quoting a couple of Rossies for saying it. Okay, Padraig Lennon, Roscommon will be very hard bait when all the Bridges boys are back, right? Fair point. Yeah, okay. And then we have Killer McHugh got in touch as well, pointing out that the Bridges boys aren't around. There is three or four other ones that I'm going to grab in a second. Is the Hyde the best looking pitch in Ireland from John Keaveney? I'll tell you what, the Hyde was
unbelievable. Hey, yeah? On telly. I thought it was an Astro. Phenomenal. And the beautiful conditions over the last couple of weeks as well. Gee, kudos to the groundsman there.
And I walked it before any of the hailstones fell, and it was very solid, very firm. Not many games happening there at the minute. But just to point out, Hastings Insurance McHale Park actually won Pitch of the Year for 2025, so the Rossies have work to do there.
Times have changed. Jesus.
Thoughts on the ref in Roscommon Armagh. The Armagh fans said there was a couple of cruel decisions going against them. Roscommon doing well and still have more Bridges boys come back into the fold. Really good sign. What do the Rossies need? What's stopping the Rossies from taking Sam this year? I'm putting your name to this, Michael Kelly. He wants to know, what's stopping the Rossies from winning Sam?
Kerry, Donegal.
I'd always say defenders.
Galway. And Armagh.
Okay.
I don't think
there's some team
there
to fall out. Like, Derek Craig is the next one after, right? Where did he get these forward? Jesus Christ.
They've sensational depth.
Yeah.
Colm Neary is a defender they have high hopes for. We saw some of the Roscommon Bridges defenders, Stack and Fallon. It'll be very interesting to see what they're like now.
Stack is very good.
With a full 15. I'm not going to get in trouble like I did last year, so I'm going to leave it there in the Rossies. But they're in great form, and two wins and a late defeat to Kerry.
Yeah, they should have got... They're very unlucky not to get over the line against Kerry. In Killarney as well, which would have been a savage result. Obviously, Kennedy gets the point there at the end. So they are going well, but I don't know, can they maintain to actually have a challenge at Sam? I can't see. It's such a long season. You can't fluke your way almost as well to the quarters or semis anymore. You really genuinely have to be one of the very best teams to even get a shot at it come the end of the summer.
James Delaney, is there such a safe thing as a lead anymore? Not at the minute with the wind. Tiernan, are Derry back in the right mentality and momentum? I think they are. I think
that's a very good couple of weeks for them, no doubt.
It's evident. James Grennan said piggery is a great term. We need to use it more. Just on that, piggery is a great term. And McGeaney, like, does have a
great
point
from McGeaney
with it too.
As well.
Yeah. We want a bit of piggery, right? You need a bit of piggery in certain elements of the field.
Did you ask him the question, Tommy? Was he, or were you, you were there? I was like, you do get the sense from him, like, when you say this all, that he doesn't seem like he's mad on the rules. Like, he's playing them. But he's like, was it kind of like, so there's no point in it, there's no tactics around kickouts and all anymore. Which is probably, if kickouts have become this big, everyone mind possession and everything, you could see why coaches could get a bit pissed off. It's like, I would just have to put it down and match it out long.
But they even got caught petty in the quarter final against Kerry. Yeah, remember, it was kickout oriented, that whole match.
That was all Ethan Rafferty's kickouts. But McGeady could pigger it with the best of them. But what a player as well. He could do it all. Yeah. But I laughed when I seen that. He's a good interview, Tommy, I'd say, is he? In a dry way.
Would you be, you'd be a little bit nervous going into it?
You would be.
Well, I did an hour.
A little bit.
I think it depends. Like, there's certain terms of engagement with certain managers, and you learn this. Like, I'm 3 years now on the beat. You learn. I got an hour and a bit with Kieran McGeaney the week of the Ulster final last year, boys. Don't forget that. We had a really good hour.
Jimmy, we wouldn't have a fucking chance.
But what I learned
back
from
in the
that,
car, like,
there's a moment, I don't know if you've seen that piece, but there's a moment about 10 minutes in where we have a disagreement on air. And once I could play ball with his disagreement and engage, it stopped being an interview and ended up being a conversation for the rest of it. So that's what I find with Kieran. Sometimes it depends. Post-match interviews are difficult. It's very hard to actually have a proper engaging chat because it's very, I suppose, there's a reason for it. Straight after the game, you're trying to get reaction. You're looking for maybe something quick. But if you can get Kieran engaged in a conversation, very few like him in the country when it comes to talking football. Like, he's very interesting. He really thinks about the game, and I think he knows himself. If he says too much, he gets himself in trouble, but he can't help himself sometimes too. Like, it's enjoyable.
But the ones,
Kieran, for sure.
The interviews that have to be ready. The game are very hard for a manager. because
it's tough.
No matter what it is, if you're after losing, you feel wronged, or you know. Mm. So next thing, there's a microphone going into your gob, and they're saying, "Talk about it." You're never going to ration out nicely there.
And the way it's gone now, right? And you mightn't have really copped this, but it's kind of gone that way, and it's not the greatest way. They're press scrums now, right? I used to be able to get maybe a one-on-one here and there. Sometimes you will get a one-on-one, and it's way better. But you've got a manager with their, and John Fogarty made this point on the Examiner Extra Pod of Morris Brosnan last week, that did a bit of a deep dive into GA journalism. It's interesting if anyone is interested in that sort of thing. It's literally manager back to the wall with like four cameras in his face, six microphones in his face. He's like, you know, if you've lost or things aren't going your way, you're going to be up against it. Like it's a strange dynamic. And you've got to be able to kind of read the room a little bit when you're trying to juggle with questions and get the little bits that you're looking for as well. So it's interesting. A couple of other quick ones, boys. Con O'Callaghan's left foot statement, no question, no comment other than that. But like the two two-pointers he kicked off his left, worth mentioning. We brought it up earlier.
Needed.
Yeah. King Courtney's saying Cavan are out of their depth. I'm not sure they are out of their depth. I think they've been unlucky in a few games. I think Division 2 is fair enough. If they survive, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
Tyrone away is the hardest game in Division 2.
Yeah. So, but no. They were off for today, but I don't think Division 2 was out of their depth.
James, did James leave the Galway jersey on for the game?
No, baby. I had my Kerry jersey on.
Did you remember who you swapped the jersey with?
You put this in the WhatsApp, yeah.
I don't know, Tommy.
You weren't looking at...
I don't think it was... Shane Walsh was obviously wearing 11 around the time. I think he was like 15 or something that day.
Oh, it was Shane Walsh. And I confirmed it with him during the week. He's only made four jersey swaps in his career. And one of them was with the 20...
Actually, that's a nice one to have.
It is a nice one to have. It makes it a lot better now.
You throwing your arse at it, don't know who you swapped with. That is like... nasty.
I don't think it was.
That's nasty.
Well, James, last week forget the pod was on. Last week you did forget that the pod was on.
So there's a lot going on for me. Excuse you.
Yes.
No, I apologise. I would have said the Shane was wearing 15 that day.
Look.
And then, do you know, like obviously swapping jerseys and all that is, it's nice after the fact when you actually have a few at home.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you know, but.
Yeah.
Well, if it is his jersey, I'm delighted with that.
He said, "You're small." Still doesn't suit him. Doesn't fit him. The small size.
Small with extra large arms.
Shoulder pads were another.
Do you think that Cork have enough to get out of Division 2?
Yes, but they can get out. Them and me, they're currently favourites. I don't know. Probably won't be the two of them, depending on the result next weekend. Obviously, will tell a lot between the two sides. But I think Cork will be fairly confident to getting out of there.
I think they need to get something in Healy Park on the last. I think that could be a brilliant game.
But that's the game that could suit them. That one.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Yeah. Time will tell.
Tom has come in with Derry, a dark horse for All Ireland and Ulster. Are they, lads? Kieran Mina back there as boss. They're getting in the groove. It doesn't take much for a county to start believing again. I saw this with Meath myself last year. All you need is a little bit of something.
They've won the first two matches in about 3 years and they're all Ireland favourites. It was like, chill.
Okay. Chill. Speaking of excitement, Carlo, five wins on the bounce. We're flying under Joe Murphy. This is coming in from Shea Hayes.
Five wins?
It's all Joe. Yeah, five wins from last year and this year. So, under Joe Murphy, obviously took over in the middle of last year. So they're happy in Carlo. And Mick Murrick, has come in with six comments. I was at Kildare Derry. Bad loss for Kildare at home. Some crazy decisions at times. Are they safe in Division 2? I think Kildare will be safe. Kerry are surely kicking themselves of only getting a point, James. Meath are looking really good to win Division 2. I don't know about that yet. There's a long way to go. And Offaly are in real bother. I think Offaly are in bother. They're missing a couple of bodies as well. Derek Pender. Meath Loud not being on television, an utter disgrace. Make sure to highlight it. I think in the grand scheme of things, I wouldn't go so far as to say it was a disgrace, but it was definitely annoying that the game isn't somewhere. I'd love to be able to watch it back. And Damien Walsh, for teams that are losing, is it a good lesson for the likes of Andy Moore and Mayo to go up to Donegal and get that beaten that they got today?
I I don't think anyone wants that lesson. I've been there myself, even as a player. I was actually looking at, we had a couple of very hard league games in 2013 with an inexperienced team. And I think we had four defeats at the start. One was away to Donegal, the other was away to Mayo. I think it's Mayo, we didn't score in the second half or something like that. Against
we gave Donegal, you a beat down in Killarney as well.
Yeah. So, is there anything good about getting those beatdowns? I don't think so. It's just a case of on to the next one. Forget about that. Get out and get a win ASAP.
You managed it with even Mulhern, it said, for like some of the younger Galway lads getting blocked down and stuff, just the speed of that game. I think from Andy's side, some of the newer, younger guys being exposed to that, like playing one of the top teams in top form away from home, I do think you take lessons from it. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's not like, will Mayo season live or die by what happened on the 15th of February? I don't think so.
No.
No.
I think that's fair.
But like they had it. They were experienced. Like from eight up, they had Toohey, Dermot O'Connor, Jordan Flynn, Ryan O'Donoghue, Jack Kearney, Byrne, Carr, Aidan Shea.
Yeah.
You know, like they were strong. When I saw the teams, I was like, this is going to be a great game. I was actually looking forward to the game, but they just never got out of the
Will Young Byrne, who we spoke about so glowingly after the first round of the league, will he have played a tougher game
in his
career than that today? Like, you know what I mean?
He wouldn't.
So,
not at all.
And there's high hopes for him, so, you know?
I remember the first time I played Donegal, and it was the 2012 quarterfinal, and it was a shock to the system. You know, it was like, I need to get my act together here because it's so different. You need to play as many of those games as possible to get confidence in playing against those teams. So, yeah, you're right. That would stand to fellas like Byrne.
Okay. No need for comments on these. Kevin Ford wants to know, are you saying that Meath and Cork would be great to get shades of their epic clashes in the All-Ireland finals back in the late 80s and 90s? We'd all love a bit of that. Carl Boyle nearly fell asleep during the Dublin match. Carl, just try and go to bed a bit earlier, maybe. Do you know? I don't know. But sleeping schedules.
7 o'clock is late. 7 o'clock is late.
Yeah. Limo wants to know, and I don't know if we're going to get a direct answer here, Liam, because the boys don't like direct questions. But James, any word on Paddy Clifford's return?
No. No idea.
Okay.
Whatsoever.
Okay, there's loads of questions and comments, so thanks to everybody who sent them in. We won't get to them all today. We'll get back to them again. I'll leave you with Eddie English and his profiler gives it away on Instagram. Mullabon GA, electrician and Liverpool fan. Lads, great podcast. Please stop making it out like it's a bloody Manchester United fan podcast. FFS. But Eddie, there's no United game to talk about this weekend, so we'll leave it there. We won't speak any longer.
Back. No,
James O'Donoghue. Paddy Andrews, great work. Thanks for going overtime tonight as well. And enjoy your weeks. We'll catch up later on.
See you, lads.
Be good.
Nice. Good night.
See you, lads. Bye.